Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune into 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Larry Souder. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, I think as you entered, there were some people that were doing some work downstairs you might have known. So you've been chatting all the way to the office, haven't you?
Yep. I've had lots of conversations this morning already.
That's good. So tell us a little bit about how you grew up, your family of origin.
Okay. Yeah. So I was born in Maryland, and then we moved to Virginia, and then we moved to Florida, and then Atlanta, Georgia, and then back to Virginia again. So been here ever since fourth grade. My father was a pastor of a church in Florida for a while. We were part of the Mennonite Church, and we were all active in the Mennonite Church up until 4 years ago or so, something like that, when my wife Linda and I decided to start attending the Nazarene Church here. So
we're glad that you did. And it's been a joy to get to know you, Larry.
And well, I've enjoyed being here.
Dad would say Mennonites make good Nazarenes. I believe he told Pastor Margaret that one time.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
So, growing up as a PK, I don't know. I don't think I knew that you were a pastor's kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
My father was. He was pastor of a church for 2 years in Florida. And then when we moved to Atlanta, Georgia, he was going to seminary at Emory University.
Okay. That's where Ethan went. Interesting.
Right? Small world.
It is a small world. Sure, we'll have to connect you two afterwards.
Ethan and Pastor Margaret's assistant here at the church.
Well, when we lived in Atlanta, I was in second and third grade.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know about it.
Didn't know a whole lot about stuff.
But so you all settled here to the Valley, and you've been here ever since?
Yep. Yeah. Ever since fourth grade. Now, my wife, Linda, was born and raised here in the Valley. We attended Weaver's Mennonite Church, and that's where she attended as an infant, and she was there for most of her life.
Yeah. So, did she work at Purdue?
Yes, she did.
So I did too, and I have a feeling that we were there about the same time, and I hope she doesn't remember me.
She was once lost, but now she's found,
now she's
found,
is what. And we're glad she is. Yep.
Well, so. You know, Larry, I know that you had a life-changing experience.
Yes.
Your testimony, right, of what God has done in your life. And we're all about stories that are hope-filled. Mm-hmm. And so we would just love to hear about your story.
Okay.
Yeah. What, like, if you want to start, like, when you came to Christ, like, I don't know when that was, but just share and we'll get to.
Okay. I was baptized into the Mennonite Church when I was 13, I believe. And it was not a one-day experience thing. It was kind of like, I mean, I'd gone to Sunday school all my life, gone to church all my life, and that's just the way we were.
Yeah.
That's the way I was. And so, you know, it makes me a little bit jealous of people that have a conversion experience. So I can't point to any particular time. It just kind of evolved.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. And then when my father, after he did some of the other things, he worked at EMHS for a number of years and stuff. And then he had all of his life, he had done some construction and he was back into building again. And so once I graduated from high school, I worked in a cabinet shop for 2 years and then manufacturing solar collectors for a year or two. And then I joined my father at Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community building the Park Village Park.
Oh, wow.
And from there on, when we finished that, we started our own business together and stuff. And we worked together for a lot of years, which was a very, very rewarding time.
Yeah.
But 28 years ago, I had an accident on a job one day. I fell about 18 feet, hit my head on the loft, edge of the loft on the way down, and shattered my skull. So that was my accident experience. My brother was chief resident of pediatrics at UVA at the time. So he had access to all the film rooms and everything. So he went into the film rooms with one of my friends and they started counting skull fractures and they lost count at 27.
Wow.
So after it happened, of course, a rescue squad picked me up. I wasn't breathing anymore. So they were bagging oxygen the whole way to RMH. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know.
You don't remember that.
I don't remember things. And then I got my helicopter ride to UVA. The only helicopter ride I ever had, and I don't remember it at all. But then at UVA, I was basically unconscious for a week on a ventilator the whole time. And I ended up being at UVA for 4 weeks. Then I went to rehab in Northern Virginia in Manassas for 9 weeks, and I got to where I am now.
So what stage and age was your family?
Okay, my wife Linda and I had two children. Jeremy was 3, and Michelle was 1, or was it 4 and 2? It was somewhere
close.
In there. Yeah. So they were really little. And after my accident, they didn't know if I was going to live or if I did live, to what level my recovery would be. Because once I gained consciousness and stuff, I wasn't all there mentally either. So, you know, they didn't know if I was going to recover to the point of a 5-year-old or 15-year-old or maybe I would have been 19 and that would have been a problem being a dad. But all of them would have. But so at UVA, when I was there for those 4 weeks, the doctors didn't do anything because they kept me alive.
Yeah.
With God's help, they kept me alive. They did no surgery. All they did was monitor stuff. And my healing came from God. It wasn't anything that anybody else did. So I'm just so grateful for what he did for me.
So you had 27 plus skull fractures.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know this. Does the skull, like, there's no way you can set it, right? It just has to heal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that was one way that God really provided for me, is there wasn't anything out of place. My skull was shattered, but everything was exactly where it was supposed to be.
Wow.
Within reason, right. Anyway. So when you have a skull or brain injury, the biggest problem comes from your brain swelling. Mm-hmm. And it makes pressure and it damages your brain. So I had a pressure monitor screwed in the top of my head to keep track of the swelling pressure, and my brain never swelled. Another thing that I had was they called brain shearing, and that's when your head comes to an abrupt stop, but your brain keeps moving and it kind of squishes up against that side of your skull and it pulls it away from the backside. So it shears your brain loose from, God kept my brain from swelling.
Yeah. I've seen people with head trauma and the swelling is the big, to be able to make it through. Like, I'm just thinking about falling as far as you did and hitting that loft, and then the ground, and to not have the trauma of brain swelling. Nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I hit the ground or the floor, I broke a shoulder blade and a number of ribs, but that was small stuff.
Right.
So those didn't really matter.
And if you want to talk about, because you had a pretty long recovery process, even though it was a miracle that you probably didn't die from the accident.
Yeah.
It was still a long recovery journey. So whatever you want to share, I know a lot you don't remember, but I know you can share for Linda, from her perspective.
Well, the difficult thing for Linda was the unknowns of how I was going to end up.
Right.
And, and at first whether I was going to live. And then after that point, was I going to be able to be a dad for our kids or not? And so the 4 weeks in UVA and the 9 weeks in Manassas, there was that whole unknown part. And she had two little kids to take care of. She was driving back and forth to UVA every day. And then when I was in Manassas, they allowed me to come home on weekends. So I needed to be taken there Monday morning and brought home Friday afternoon. And there was just she driving, taking care of kids, finding people to take care of kids. And then some people started coming to Manassas and picking me up or taking me there and stuff and helping her out. And we were members there at Weaver's Mennonite Church, and it was such an awesome support group through prayer and helping Linda with some stuff.
It is truly one of the things in the church is we really believe in community.
Yeah.
And right. to see that community come around in those times, I can't imagine not having that. You
right.
know, thinking about
right.
Linda with those two children without that community would have looked much different.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And we had both sets of parents lived here close to Harrisonburg or in Harrisonburg. So there was family, too. And I can't imagine what it would have been like for her, you know, if we would have moved away from Harrisonburg and were in a different community where we didn't have family, we didn't have close friends, church. It would be totally different.
So just being able, like as a child, you did some hopping around. You lived
yeah.
different places.
Yeah.
And just to think about the Lord bringing you all here and having that foundation of community and of faith built around you for such a time as that is
right,
powerful.
Right.
So when did it become apparent that you were going to have not going to be a 19-year-old or 5-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
an adult. You were having a miraculous healing.
Yeah. Well, it was hard for me to, since I didn't remember the accident or hardly anything at UVA and just sketches of things at Manassas, it was a little bit hard for me to realize where I had come from. But so the accident happened in February. I was not allowed to go back to work at all until September. And then it was just for half day, a couple times a week. And there was a physical therapist or occupational therapist at work with me, watching me, making sure that I could do stuff all right. And apparently I passed. And I still had double vision at that point because of the damage to my left eye. And then I had, later on in September, I had surgery on my right eye where they damaged it to match the damage in my left eye. And it helped my double vision a whole lot, got it a whole lot closer together. And I went without glasses for a couple years, but then my eyes just got tired. So now I wear glasses with prisms in them that correct my double vision. And that's the only thing I have left from my accident. That doesn't mean my body's fine because I have a number of other issues, ailments, whatever, that aren't accident related. So
Yeah.
I was healed from my accident, but
the body is still human, right?
Yeah, it's still human.
It doesn't. They don't hold up forever.
So back to your question, I guess I was pretty much doing normal things by September, October, but I still didn't realize where I had come from. And so I had appointments with my doctor at UVA on a regular basis. And after about a year, I was there for an appointment and he was checking my memory stuff and all that stuff. And he told me, he said, well, you have better short-term memory than most of my college students. And I'm a lot older now, so I no longer have that. But in that appointment, he told me, he said, I can only attribute your recovery to one thing. And he said, that's a miracle. Wow. He said, people who have injuries like you had, if they live, they spend the rest of their life in a nursing home. And that statement coming from a doctor who had been at UVA for a long time, that kind of hit home. And it made me realize, you know, my recovery was a whole lot more than what I thought it was. And
what was it like faith-wise?
I don't have a whole lot of memory of stuff before my accident. Mm-hmm. That was one of the side effects is I lost memories of some memories of childhood and of growing up and where I actually was faith-wise, I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
But it gave me an appreciation for God that I'm sure I didn't have before. I had never experienced anything like that, obviously for myself, but with any close acquaintances. And then a couple years later, I was leading worship music at our church at the time. Well, not during my accident, but I started soon after that. And there was a young boy at our church that had a similar head injury. And he was at UVA. I went and visited him. I prayed so hard for that kid because I wanted to see a miracle. Kid died.
Wow.
And that was very difficult for me because I didn't see my experience. I wanted to see it in somebody else. Just to reinforce the knowledge that God has such healing power. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, and
so I worked through that. The fact that I was leading music at church, that was what kept me closest to God.
Yeah.
And I won't say that I was a perfect Christian.
Well, I don't
because
think you are any.
Yeah.
Only Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus was the only one. So music has helped me ever since then stay connected to a great extent.
Yeah, and that's, I think for any of us when we struggle, if we can take our focus off of our struggle and worship God, it changes our perspective.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's how I deal as well. Like I have playlists for certain things I'm dealing with, you know?
Yeah.
And,
for sure. So
I
for
think
sure.
that that's beautiful, and somebody might need to hear that today that is looking down and around in this world and can't figure out what's happening and really will never figure it out. But if we can cast our gaze on the Lord and worship him in the midst of the uncertainties, unknowns, he brings that peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we realize that he's sovereign and he sees everything, so we need to be aware, but we don't need to worry. Yeah. He's told us that we could cast those cares on him.
Right.
So
right.
through worship, that you could lead worship is pretty amazing, right? Like, and you play guitar?
No. I don't.
Oh, I was thinking you did.
No, I don't play any instruments. Wow. I just sing.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I had you in my mind. I had you with the guitar.
Well, at our previous church, I organized everything and got everybody there that could play, so.
Well,
hey, we all have our gifts.
Yep.
The Lord's used worship in my life to get my mind off of circumstances and on him. But also, as you were sharing about that boy that didn't have the healing you have, that's important. We talked about that before the broadcast.
Yeah.
You know, God healed you, and we don't understand why he heals some people and doesn't heal others. But God knows best, and we don't know why bad things happen to good people. We just have to trust him. Regardless.
Right.
And for the believer, that often we think, well, God didn't heal them. And he didn't in their earthly tent.
Right.
They're more alive in heaven than they ever were on earth.
But thinking about Linda and her concerns about how you would be after, and this young man wasn't healed earthly, but he had the ultimate healing, and it could have looked really different for his life would he have been in a nursing home? And I think sometimes when we pray, we have an expectation of how God should answer. But God, he sees it all, and he knows best. And that's hard. I can only imagine how the struggle for you, knowing that he healed you, but this is your story. This is what God, this is a story that God has given you to share, to give God glory.
And
so I'm just grateful today to sit and talk with you and to understand we don't all receive the same healing, but we serve a God that cares more about each one of us specifically than we could ever imagine.
Exactly. So another thing that happened with that young boy is his parents asked me to lead music at his memorial service.
Oh, my.
And that was going to be difficult. But the one song that I led was be unto your name. And the one part of it goes, we are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. Mm-hmm. And through that whole experience, leading that song made me realize that I prayed for his healing and he received healing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He yes. received,
amen,
amen.
Like you said, the yeah. ultimate healing.
Right. Yeah.
But it was still hard for me to yeah. work through that yeah. for a long time.
Oh,
but,
I, yeah. I'm
yeah. so anyway, yeah. But, and you know, just yesterday I was reading the devotional that Jeff Craster sends out every day. And it was about Peter speaking with Christ after Christ's resurrection. And Christ was telling Peter that he was going to die for his faith and stuff. So Peter said, well, what about him, John?
Mm-hmm.
And Christ said, don't worry about John. You have your life to deal with. You need to worry about yourself. Don't worry as much about mm-hmm. other people. And before that, Christ had been talking about running our race mm. and keeping our focus on God, and that everybody runs a different race. Mm-hmm. And my race isn't going to end up like everybody else's race through life. And so everybody's circumstances are different, but God is in control, and we need to keep our eyes on him mm-hmm. as we run our race, wherever yeah. it takes us.
Yeah, and I think he said to Peter, follow me.
Yes.
You know, and it is, it's that when we get our eyes off of the Lord and what he's doing, and we start worrying about the people around us, man, mm-hmm. That can really mess up our faith.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And this is a beautiful, I mean, you know, Peter, not too long before this, had really messed up.
Right.
You know?
He messed up big time.
He did, yeah. And just to see Jesus embrace him and with such love.
Yeah.
And that's the same love that he embraces us, right. even when we question
right.
the things,
right.
you know. But he continues
right.
to say what we've just been saying,
right.
follow me, worship me. Right. Like, and worship, when we say worship, it is
word,
like
thought,
there's,
indeed.
There's times that I literally just have to sing to get my focus changed. Mm-hmm. Our mm-hmm. life is a life of worship, how we live our life day to day. And Peter had learned that the really hard way,
yeah.
But a lesson that he would never forget and one that helps us. So, yeah, that's a beautiful way to think about our own story. And I think sometimes the enemy brings all these things to us to why we shouldn't share it or, you know, because someone else might not have the same story. And they don't. No one
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
But as long as our heart is right in giving the glory to God, we are the only one that can tell our story.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Only one.
Yeah. And we talk about this in the importance of sharing testimony is, you know, people might question things faith-wise, but mm-hmm. they can't question our personal testimony.
Right.
Our personal right. story.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So back to the idea of music. There's a song that just came out half a year ago or so that has really struck me. And the title is Made for More.
Yeah.
And the one part of it says, I wasn't made to be tending a grave.
Yeah.
I was called by name. Forget how it goes now. But it ends up, the main point is, I was made for more.
Right.
So if I was made for more, I'm not quite sure exactly what all God has in mind for me. But I think that's for all of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is made for more.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we need to keep that in mind all yeah. the time that, yeah. you know, we can never exceed what is right. possible for us right. to do with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he has things planned for us we've never yep. thought of or imagined
yep.
in
yep.
Ephesians.
So,
yeah. I mean, if the Lord healed you miraculously, it was because you were made for more. We're all on borrowed time, so yeah. to speak, and we need to make the most of that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think about just the impact that you've had in this community through not just worship, through you have a construction business, where you've been able to connect with so many people on personal mm-hmm. levels throughout the years. And in the mundane day-to-day conversations that we have, we might not think about the power of that. But you can, in your mind right now, go back to a lot of stories
yeah.
throughout the years where you've been in a time and a place where God used you to help someone else along. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my son-in-law has yeah. been very blessed because of the partnership that you all have through construction.
And yeah. and I've been very blessed by having him.
Yeah, what a blessing. Yeah. You have been to our family, yeah. you know, and I wouldn't probably just walk up to you on a Sunday morning and say that, but sitting in this context, mm-hmm. the Lord's like, yeah, your own family is different.
Yeah.
Because there's someone that believed in a young carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So that's just the beauty of sharing our testimony. Sometimes we get to find out things we didn't realize. Just, yeah. you know, in the mundane day-to-day mm-hmm. business world, God's using you to make a difference. Yeah.
Larry, kind of a two-part question. Is there anything else that we haven't asked you already that you'd like to share? And because we call this program Hope Talks, what is bringing you the most hope right now currently in your life?
That's a deep question. I can't really think of anything else, any other part of the story that we ought to speak about. But as far as hope, I have hope for the future.
Right,
For experiences I can have with family, with church, right. with friends, and the hope of learning more about Christ and becoming more a part of His kingdom. And I also have hope for this church. Yeah. You know, we're looking forward to a new pastor.
Yeah.
And I have hope for our church expanding and feeling the presence of God even more right. than what we have mm-hmm. so far. And, yeah, I have a lot of hope for the future.
Yeah. So. And, you know, just understanding that God, you know, He continues to tell us, like, Scripture continues to speak, that He does have things planned for us right. we've never thought of or imagined. And I think the expectation of believers to be looking for that mm-hmm. in these days mm-hmm. is so important that yeah. we keep focused on the Lord when we could be focused on a lot of earthly things that aren't going to bring us anything but more frustration, maybe.
Yeah.
We are a part of another kingdom, right?
Right.
We are part of
right.
the kingdom of God, and so we must have a kingdom perspective. And what your perspective is, that is a kingdom perspective.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's so important in the world today, just to realize I'm going out today and I'm going to have a kingdom perspective.
Right, right. Yeah. After Christ's resurrection, the main thing He expects from us is faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And faithfulness isn't something that you just do on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
It's, yeah. We aren't just Christians on Sunday morning. We're Christians
every
moment of every day. And that calls for faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To yeah. His cause.
Yeah. yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, Larry, thank you for joining us on Hope Talks today. It's been great to have you and to hear your testimony and your story.
Well, it's been good to be here. So,
thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Larry Souter's testimony today and about the miraculous healing that the Lord's done in his life, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.